I'm trudging through the forest, trying not to get my rubber boots stuck in the 6 inches of mud that covers the ground. The weight of the chainsaw I'm carrying pulls on my arm, threatening my balance. Resisting the urge to give in to gravity that would send me propelling down into the mud, I move on through the forest. It's a sunny day and I'm in the Siberian Arctic, 10,000 miles and 17 time zones away from my home in Colorado. It's late in the day, although I can't tell because here in the Arctic summer, the sun never sets. My immediate goal is to get the chainsaw I'm carrying to a graduate student who needs to cut a burned tree down. Contrary to popular belief, the Arctic is not entirely covered in ice. Forests are present here too. While pausing to shift the chainsaw to my other hand, I look around and take in my surroundings. Black, charred trees dot the landscape. Wildfires also occur in the Arctic. A slab of the tree trunk will allow us to determine the age of the tree and the year the forest burned. I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm trying not to fall down in the mud. I can't help but think, why am I here? I am here because the Arctic is warming at twice the rate as the rest of the globe. A warmer Arctic influences the frequency and severity of wildfires. Changes in wildfires can determine whether the trees grow back after fire. If the trees do not grow back, the forest may look very different. Shrubs or grasses could take over. As I'm slogging through the forest, I think more about why I'm here. The growth of tree seedlings following fire will define the fate of the forest. In order for new trees to grow, seeds have to germinate. Environmental conditions surrounding the seed have to be just right for germination. Think Goldilocks and the Three Bears. If the conditions are too hot or dry, the seed will not germinate. If the conditions are too cold or too wet, the seed will not germinate. The conditions have to be just right. I'm here in Siberia to find out what those just right conditions are. Swatting off swarms of mosquitoes, happy that I'm doused in mosquito repellent and wearing a full netted shirt, I move on through the muck. I have reached the graduate student and hand him the chainsaw, completing my immediate goal. The graduate student cuts the tree down, removing a slab of its trunk. He puts the slab in his backpack to transport back to the lab, where we can count the rings to determine its age. Our field day is done, and our crews began to hike back through the mud to the shore. Here in the Siberian Arctic, the mosquitoes are plentiful, but the roads are few. The rivers are our highways. We get into a boat, ride back to the barge that transported us down the river to this burn area. My stomach is growling. I'm ready for dinner. What will it be tonight? Moose meatloaf, moose lasagna, moose soup, or moose and pasta? Here in the Siberian Arctic, meat comes primarily from hunting local animals, so moose is, usually, what's for dinner. Tomorrow we'll ride the barge down the river, find another burn site, and complete our measurements again. That evening, while lying on the top bunk in a room I share with three other women, I think back to my question of, why am I here? I am in a place that few people experience in their lifetime, addressing important questions on how the Arctic is responding to a changing climate. This is why I'm here. I am a scientist who is passionate about understanding the natural world. There is no other place I would rather be right now, and I will be back next year.